This is Dr. Gilbert.
Good morning, Life Talk with Marietta from New York. How are you, Dr. Gilbert?
Good morning, Marriott. Wonderful.
Thank you for having me. Go ahead.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Oh, you're welcome. And a big welcome, of course, to our Life Talk audience. I am Marietta, and let's start with a question to everyone. Did you know that our body is communicating with us? When we are in pain, our body lets us know precisely what is wrong, and it's up to us to learn to listen. And this is exactly what we're learning today. If your body had a voice, what would it say? Question mark. Today's program was brought to you in part by abetterviewcleaning.com. Congratulations, 25 years of happy customers, and thehealingmindmagazine.com, a learning classroom connecting globally. Now, according to Dr. Gilbert, MD, PhD, and author, the most common ailments that send patients to doctors, such as joint pain, abdominal pain, fatigue, obesity, rashes, and headaches, are not purely physical symptoms. Suppressed emotions, extreme emotions, and internal conflicts deep within the human psyche, she says. Therefore, the key to healing lies in coaxing the body to give voice to the emotional source of illness. Then, very often, the symptoms will disappear and the body will start healing. And that's where we have the expert today. I'm so excited, Dr. Chris Gilbert.
Thank you, Marianne. Yes, absolutely.
Doctor, what does it mean our bodies talk to us? What does that mean?
That means that when we do the wrong movements, for example, for our back is going to let us know with pain. If we bend the wrong way, or if we eat the wrong thing, our body is going to let us know. And the body is just like a little animal inside of us. It doesn't have many voices. It can only have the voice of a pain or pleasure. And when it doesn't like something, it lets us know. So pain in the back, for example, if a lot of people have back pain, either the upper back or the lower back, and if they give their back a voice, the back is going to say what the problem is.
Uh-huh. One thing that comes to mind, Doctor, when you don't really have hurt your back, at least you're not aware of it, that you maybe moved the wrong way, a lot of things can happen and you're not aware of it. But I remember when people go through constant financial problems, your lower back could start hurting. So we're getting into the mind of problems that people could possibly have. And I remember lower back started hurting without really having twisted the wrong way or exercised the wrong way. So these psychological problems, that just came to mind, Dr. Gilbert.
Yes, absolutely. And what happens is that at that time, when we have something that we don't, or bad news, for example, or something, we got into a fight with our partner, then the muscles in the back are going to tense up. And that will create knots, and it will be very painful. So the back is going to let us know that we are unhappy, that something is going wrong in our life. So we need to fix that in order to not have the back pain anymore.
That's incredible. You also mentioned that it could be headaches. It could be many, many areas. Is it really always just the back or other parts of your body that are affected?
It could be any other part of your body. For headaches, for example, it would be the neck muscles that are going to tense up. And if the neck muscles tense up, then there is less blood flow to go into the little arteries that bring blood to the muscles. and that will create pain. And it will be also, it will change the flow in the brain itself, because there are some little muscles on the side of the blood vessels in the brain, and those will be affected, and that will create headaches. But it could be any part of our body. It could be the hand, it could be the feet, it could be the ankles, it could be the belly. Any part of the body can be affected.
That's just really, really amazing. And I think people should not do their own diagnosis like I do sometimes. I've had some neck pains the last few days, and I blame it on my pillows. And I have every pillow you can imagine, good pillows. And I sleep on a softer pillow, but I still have the neck pain, and I'm diagnosing it myself. So that's wrong. I'm realizing that speaking to you, because I also have to look at what's going on in my life. I have a lot of stress, a lot of new things coming up in my life, and so forth. So it's not the pillow, Dr. Gilbert.
Yes, absolutely. The neck also has to carry a lot. It has to carry the head, but it has to carry all the worries that we have. So the more worries we're going to have, the heavier things are going to be figuratively, but it's going to affect the neck. I mean, you'll see people that have a lot of problems. You'll see how they walk. They walk with their back arched.
Yes.
They've got so much to carry. And the people that are happy, that don't have any problem, you tend to see them with very
upright posture. An upright
posture.
Yeah. You're right about that.
And if you notice your own posture, you will notice that if you have more problems to deal with, your posture, if you look inside on the mirror, with a mirror, your posture is going to be more arched. And if you don't have any problem, you will see that your posture is so much better, so much straighter. It's just something that you can be aware of by yourself looking at the mirror.
It's incredible all the things that we have to look at, and we're trying to ignore it. That's why I'm so happy that you're here today to really educate us. We're talking to Dr. Chris Gilbert today, online, Dr. Chris Gilbert, drchrisgilbert.com. Dr. Gilbert is also the author of The Listening Cure, Healing Secrets of an Unconventional Doctor, and also Dr. Chris, ABC of Health. So now, the other question that I like to ask, some people have chronic pains every single day. The minute they wake up, they open up their eyes, their body speaks to them till they go to sleep at night, and then they have even problems sleeping. What would be going on with a person like that, doctor?
Well, in those cases, I ask the body, I ask the pain, and I ask the person to describe the pain, to describe it with colors, to describe it with a shape, to describe it with a sound. And by describing it and getting into the detail of that image of the pain usually gets less. That's a very good trick that people can try, actually.
Yeah.
So what can be going on is that there is, once they start describing the pain, or, you know, sometimes they will say it's something that's very dark, it's a dark, like, ball, and then I ask them to describe the details of that ball. Is that regular ball? What is the surface? What does the surface look like? What does it feel like? And once we get into the detailed description, then we could associate it with a sound. And the sound can be very liberating, and the people will associate the sound with a liberation sometime. And then we'll talk about their problems, the problems that they're having. And just by talking about the problems, I mean, there are studies at UCLA by Dr. Lieberman that shows that just by talking about something, it alleviates the problem. It just puts it outside the head so that we can, it's not inside anymore, just by being outside and talking about it gets things better. Mm-hmm. And then we get into the real problem. What's going on with their kids? What's going on with their husband or with their wife? What's going on with their parents? What's going on at work? What's going on with the way they eat, the way they exercise? Do they exercise enough? Do they eat the right way? Do they have a lot of anger? And just, again, by expressing this, we get to the core of the problem. And that makes them usually spectacularly better because it gets to the core.
I see. In your book, The Listening Cure, Healing Secrets of an Unconventional Doctor, page 35, you're telling the story of your patient, Amanda, who happens to have problems with obesity. And there you go into great details. Could you talk about that? Could you talk about the details? I did read that chapter very closely because I could identify with that. So, this is your book. It's your chapter. Could you kindly talk about that and go in details what the problems were with this person and how you went into details?
Well, she had trouble raising her child. It was very, very difficult. She didn't have she didn't have the time. She didn't have the energy. She couldn't do everything she could. So she got into a lot of tension, and then she started eating too much. But also she didn't get along well with her husband, so by eating too much, she was getting less attractive to her husband, because she didn't want to have sex anymore.
Right.
And that was a way for her to avoid the contact with her husband. Those were all ways to avoid things that she couldn't handle.
But also, it talked about numbing the pain, and I can really understand that. I can really understand Amanda. I really can. She has tried losing weight different ways, has not been able to do so for whatever reason. But it was really the all-around environment and the core.
So eating a lot of junk food and eating a lot and eating on a regular basis is numbing. It does numb whatever feelings. It gets people a temporary pleasure, and it's like an anesthetic in a way. Then they don't feel things anymore. It gives them just a little bit of pleasure temple, and they don't think about their problems. But then it doesn't last long, so they need to eat very often to keep that going.
That's right. That's very right. And your energy level, it's just really, really affect. And a lot of people can, whether they're obese or not, a lot of people can identify with that. They start off really well in the morning, and they're really charged up. And by 11 o'clock, it just kind of goes down a little bit. So they feel, maybe I'll have lunch. So if you start a heavy lunch, and I've done that as well, not every day, but I have done it occasionally. Then your energy, if you have a heavy lunch that's heavy on the stomach, all your energy is gone. By 1 o'clock, you feel so tired, you don't even know how you're going to, get all the appointments done and seeing all your patients or your clients. So on top of it, and then you start feeling bad. You start really feeling worse about yourself that you feel the way you feel. So it's compounded. It's just the personal dialogue on top of it, it doesn't help either because you're beating yourself up, doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the key thing is not to eat too much, just to eat actually less than is needed to get full. Just to eat little quantities and to eat quality food like good fats, like olives, or avocado, those kind of things in that are very, very good fats, will give you a lot of boost, a lot of good energy without getting you too tired, but they need to be eaten in small quantities. Also eat protein, but again, small quantities. If you pay attention to the way that you eat, you'll see that if you eat just a little bit, you'll have lots of energy, and if you eat a little bit more, then that's it. This is going to be, you'll be very tired. So the limit between eating just the right way and eating too much is very, very difficult to find, and it's a very fine line. So err on the more on the side of eating too little is the best. Studies have shown that people that eat very little have more longevity. So not many calories, just good calories, no salt or no. You'll find that when you look in supermarket, everything that is on the shelf contains sugar. If you look at the ingredients, even if it's a great protein. I mean, if it says, for example, in the morning cereals, a great source of protein, if you look at the fine print in the ingredients, that has sugar added. So to me, that's not a good way to start the day. I would want people to start the day if they eat cereal with something that does not have sugar added. Like shredded wheat probably is the one of the only ones, or oatmeal, just oats.
Yes.
Yes. But without sugar added, and that will make a big difference.
It sure does, Doctor. I've done that for a while. Just a little bit of honey, less than maybe a half a teaspoon, and a little bit of almond milk. I felt fantastic. The minute I eat preserves, marmalade, and so forth, I put that on toast. My sugar spikes up. I don't feel well at all. Yesterday I noticed, I said, well, first of all, somebody who has some extra pounds, they have some very, very bad habits. We don't even know. I say we because I have some extra pounds. We don't even know when we're hungry and when we're not hungry. We think we're hungry. So that's how we eat. So that's the worst bad habit, everything. So yesterday I asked myself, because you get into these bad habits, oh, let's just eat something. Let's get up from the desk and let's pacify. Let's have something to eat. So my stomach, I wasn't hungry, anything. And my stomach didn't give me any voice, no voice at all. My stomach was happy. But I had lunch at 10:30 or 11 o'clock. So then at 2 o'clock, my body was talking to me. I didn't need that food. But we're fighting somebody with some extra pounds and bad habits. We're fighting against all of that. We really do. That's how I look at it, Doctor.
So what did you have for lunch?
It was some cucumber salad and some chicken with bok choy that I had the night before. Small portions, but still it was fixed as a meal. It was very delicious. It was all fresh and everything. But the point that I wanted to make, I ate this and I became aware because I asked myself, how does my stomach feel? My stomach wasn't hungry. I ate it anyway. And this is when I recognized I'm eating food when I'm not even hungry. So that's there's something in the mind that needs to be changed. A new chip needs to be put in. Doctor.
That's right. Well, you know, in the past, well, like 200, 400 years ago, it was difficult to find food. So whenever we had food that was available, we would eat it because we would be afraid of starving in the next few days. So we're built in as primates. We're built in as whenever there is food, we just grab it because otherwise, we don't know when we're going to starve. That's what's in our brain. That's what's wired in us.
In everybody's brain?
That's in everybody's brain, pretty much.
Oh, then I'm okay. Then I'm okay, Dr. Gilbert. I'm not unusual.
That's right. Because we're primate, because of our heritage. That's the way we were. before. But the thing is, in this country, and we're not talking about Africa, in Africa there's still problems like this, but in this country, we have all the food we can need readily available. So if we eat every time we see food, it will be on food overload. And the body, our brain doesn't know that really, because we're still wired as, you know, we might miss food in the future. So we have to restrain ourselves, telling our brain, it's okay, we're not going to starve, we have all the food we can eat, we're okay. And each time you eat, well, you probably have to tell this to your brain, it's okay, I'm not going to starve. And then you can eat small quantities, and then you can eat, you need to eat regularly on a regular basis, breakfast, lunch, and dinner at regular time. But in between, I would refrain from eating, telling, even if you see food, telling the body, you know, it's okay, you won't starve, we've got food.
So in other words, through affirmation, you have to tell yourself, you have to start a dialogue, a daily dialogue,
in
regards to this, somebody who eats without really being hungry, and that must come from me. Your brain, your heritage, you don't have enough food, even though your refrigerator is full. Very, very interesting. Because yesterday, I'm usually very mindful of when something hurts in my body, the stomach, I've never, so I zeroed in on this yesterday, and I'm recognizing that I'm eating without being hungry. And then I wonder why I don't feel right at 2-3 o'clock and don't have energy. Because when I eat the right thing and in moderation, I have full energy from the moment I get up in the morning till at night, 8-9 o'clock. I can really, really, without any energy loss. And that's pretty good.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
Even
mm-hmm.
at a certain age, as a baby boomer, I'm very proud of that. The minute I put any sugar into my body, it could be a donut or it could be whatever, anything with sugar. I think marmalade, I don't eat that much anyway. But that immediately, the minute sugar, that's it, I'm done with, you know, with my energy. It affects my energy tremendously. Now, Dr. Gilbert, you reside in California. Do you have patients contacting you from all over?
I've had patients contacting me from all over. I mean, I've treated patients coming to see me from Germany, from France, from different parts of the United States. So I've had this. Now, I'm not seeing patients anymore in private practice, but I do write books and I do speeches and I do podcasts. And so I try to educate people more on a large scale rather than a one-to-one basis, or just like this, on the so that people can listen to what we're saying, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is very educational.
Oh, absolutely, doctor, absolutely. And I do want to get back to your patient Amanda, who you talk about in your book. What actually happened to her once you helped finding the real cause? What happened? What were you able to do for your patient?
Well, then she started eating the right way. She started eating not too much, just the small portions, but also she started eating non-processed foods, which is more salads, lettuce, cucumbers, without dressing. Because in the dressing, there's a lot of sugar. Very often, you will look at the ingredients of all the dressings. They do contain sugar. And she started eating vegetables, steamed vegetables, and healthy protein. And she started losing weight. And as she lost weight, she became more attractive, and she had more energy. So she became more attractive to her husband. She had more energy to raise her kid. Her life started again.
She didn't get rid of her husband?
The, You don't know. what did I write in the book?
I didn't finish that particular chapter, but it seemed to me that, and this is what I'd like to talk about. I'm not sure if because I didn't finish that chapter. A lot of people are in unhappy marriages where the woman or the man is being dominated by the opposite sex. And when you're being squashed, of course you can't flourish. You never have a chance. You can't even breathe. So realizing that, first you're in denial, but then once you realize it, yes, you have other aches and pains. Other aches and pains that show up. In the patient Amanda's case, she was heavily obese, but she also had problems with the husband. And it was not just what I was reading. It was not just her being unattractive or making herself unattractive because she didn't like to have sex with him. But there's always a reason for a woman when this happens. You know, do people get into that area as well if they're really telling themselves the truth and if they're telling you the truth?
Yes. The thing is to be aware. If we start being aware of what our body needs, then we can start being aware of what our brain needs. And what do we need as a person? Very often, people don't know what they need, so they cannot express to their partner what they need. And very often, men in general need precise instruction. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but very often men need special instruction on how to deal with us, because otherwise they don't understand us women. So if we say, oh, honey, this is what I need from you. Then they have special instructions. So, for example, I need you to listen to me. I don't want you to be overwhelming, but just listen to me and take me in your arms and hug me, and that will be good and that will be very supportive. This kind of instruction, usually they don't know, and if we tell them precisely what we need, then they will do it. And then the marriage will be much better. And then in reciprocally, the man can tell the husband, the wife, what he needs. But for that, we need to know each other. We need to know ourselves. Very often people
exactly,
don't know themselves.
Exactly. Doctor, I couldn't agree with you more. And I really believe if we would start off young in life on our own journey first, instead of getting married early, get out of some of the patterns that we were taught by our moms and dads. This is just my own opinion, if we would have our own journey first to get to know us, then we would have a chance because we know what we don't want. That is the key, what we don't want. But we would also get an archive of experiences. So,
yes.
And you just don't have that when you get married at age 16, 17, 18. You start a family right away, and at age 30 you're divorced, and maybe at age 40 you get married again and it still doesn't work out. And you need this journey alone to know, to learn what you don't want, and an archive of experiences. That's how I look at it. Then you have a chance of maybe holding a relationship because you held a relationship with yourself. And
that's right.
Uh-huh. I strongly believe that, but a lot of us, we didn't start off like that.
That's right. Most of us, actually. Not only do we know what we don't want, and we need to learn what we want, because we're so, we have our parents mark on us. Our parents, depending on some people had parents that could let them be whoever they wanted. Some other people had parents that were very controlling, like I had parents that were very controlling. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn who I was inside without the influence of my parents. And a lot of people are like that, and they really don't know who they are. They know what they were taught. They know what they were taught not to do. They know what they were taught to do. They know what they were taught to wish for, but they don't know what they themselves need as an individual without the print of their parents, without the mark of their parents on them.
Yeah.
And that takes time.
Absolutely. The controlling part in my case was just one parent, the father, and I really couldn't stand it as a young child growing up. And we just had a program last Saturday. It was called Blame It on Jack. And Jack is really an imaginary person that when things don't go, when you have not learned responsibility, you blame it on others. That's what the core of the program was all about. And it was interesting. When you grow up with one controlling parent, I did learn responsibility very quickly, thank God. But the point I wanted to make, I almost got off track. And I think I'm off track. I'm off track. So Dr. Gilbert, that happens to her. I have a blank. It will come to me again. So I did learn responsibility, but I learned, now I got it again. I did learn that, a partner like my father, who I love very dearly because today I can understand him, what he went through and why he was the way he was all his life. He would have, that's not a partner. So many times men look for their mothers, to see the familiar patterns, and, wives look for the husbands like their dads. So it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I don't want to be controlled. I hated that as a child, and interesting enough, I would look for men that would control, so I could fight with them. And that happened twice, and then I got it. So I'm not looking for anybody to control me, or I'm not looking for these patterns. So I think I'm on the healing, path, Dr. Gilbert.
That's good.
Yeah, we're talking to Dr. Chris Gilbert online, drdrchrisgilbert.com. She's the author of The Listening Cure, Healing Secrets of an Unconventional Doctor, and Dr. Chris, ABC of Health. Today's program was brought to you in part by A Better View Cleaning.com and The Healing Mind Magazine.com, home of the Life Talk with Marietta podcast. So The Healing Mind Magazine.com. So, Dr. Gilbert, I'm looking forward to a series of programs with you. Because I think you have something very special to really bring awareness, and also you can help people because we're not aware of when the body talks to us. I'm just a little bit aware of it. At least I pay attention now, but I don't know what's wrong then. So with the food a little bit, I'm starting to learn. So I'm a big student of yours. You have my attention. To wrap all of this, what would you say to our audience?
I would say to the audience, be very attentive to what your body says. Be very attentive to what your stomach says. If you see a particular food, if you get all nauseous, be attentive to the fact that your stomach says it doesn't want that food. If you see somebody, and you've got sometimes very, an immediate reflex of contracting, of protecting yourself, be aware of what your body is saying in regards to that person. Be aware of what your body is saying. Your body is a fine-tuned, little animal that will have immediate reactions before your brain to everything. be aware of that, because that will tell you which direction to go. If you, for example, if you're looking for the best partner, life partner, mm-hmm. sometimes your body will tell you right away, oh my God, this is the best person for me, before your brain will know it. And sometimes your body will say, oh, no, really, I shouldn't go towards that person. And sometimes you don't listen to that, and you get into a relationship, and that's the wrong relationship. But for everything, your body will know pretty much right away and tell you. So just be attentive and be aware, and you will be happy and healthy.
Thank you, Dr. Ron Gilbert. Life Talk with Marietta podcast. You were listening to Dr. Chris Gilbert. If your body had a voice, what would it say? So I want to thank you today, Dr. Gilbert, for being with us. And we're looking forward to many, many series of podcasts. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you, Marietta.
Thank you so much.
Day too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.